Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Divine Service broadcast live for you from St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Oconomowoc, where Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. Here Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. The gospel lesson from Luke chapter 20 is a reading that's included in Matthew and Mark and Luke, so it's a pretty significant event in Jesus' life and ministry as he approaches Holy Week. And in this season of the church year, as we approach the end of the church year and the beginning of Advent, the readings seem to zero in on themes of resurrection and the life that is to come. So we will look at the gospel reading and the sons of the resurrection and what that means for us. So God bless you as you hear his word and receive his gifts.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is written in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the Alleluia and the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. They asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It happened during Holy Week in Jerusalem. As Jesus is teaching, his opponents are lining up to take turns, trying to trap him in something that he might say. So along come the Sadducees to try their hand with a trick question. The Sadducees? Pastor, who are the Sadducees? Glad you asked. Good question. The Sadducees come from the wealthy and privileged elite, if you will, families in Jerusalem. They are the social and political and religious progressives of their day, with a few unique ideas. The only part of the Hebrew scriptures that the Sadducees took as authoritative or accepted was the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Sadducees also did not believe that there was a resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in the life of the world to come. And that is what lies behind their question here to Jesus. I know some of you probably told the joke to yourself, and that is why they are so sad, you see. You're welcome, Paul. They're going to ask Jesus a trick question, one that they hope will trip him up and make him look bad because he talks about the resurrection. So they frame this ridiculous scenario and pose a question that will make any belief in the resurrection look absurd. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, that man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Let's pause here. The children would then count as not the man's children, but as his brother's children. They would be his nieces and nephews. You with me? That's important. This is called the Levirate marriage law. It is one of those laws written in the Torah, and the Sadducees are citing it correctly. It is the case of what to do when an Israelite man dies childless. So, what do you do with the man's line so it doesn't die out? Because the promise was made. The promise was made to Abraham that through his seed, through his offspring, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of Israel, bears that promise of the seed that will bless the world. So this is the law established, the law of the Levirate marriage, so that a man who dies childless doesn't die with his line dying out with him. The children would be counted as his. Perhaps the Messiah would come through that line. Can you see why this is a big deal for the ancient Israelites? Because it's a big deal. Okay, so that's the setup. Prescribed by the law of Moses, which the Sadducees cite, but then they take this law and they push it to its absolute extreme, trying to make belief in the resurrection sound ridiculous. Trying to make Jesus sound ridiculous. I'll tell you who's going to win that one every time. Good luck. So here they go. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven and left no children. All seven died. And afterward, the woman also died. You think? I mean, imagine all those funerals she had to plan and serve meals for and go to and tell stories about. Holy buckets. Then the punchline of this whole ridiculous scenario unfolds. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will this woman be? For the seven had her as wife. Ah, it's a gotcha question. They think they have Jesus over the barrel. Let's see how that goes. Well, this incident, again, is recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It is obviously important enough that it's in all three of the synoptic gospels. However, this text in Luke skips over the first thing that Jesus says to the Sadducees. Matthew and Mark record it. He says, "You are wrong. Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." The Sadducees didn't know the Bible. They didn't understand it. And they also didn't understand the power of God to raise up the dead bodily. And that's where Jesus is going with this. They don't understand either that marriage is temporal. It is for this world. It is an estate that God has established until death do us part. That's one of those things that you say when you take your vows in marriage. It's not for the age to come. Well, why not? Jesus says, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age, to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." The Sadducees don't have to worry about whose wife will she be, because she won't be the wife of any of those seven men in the resurrection in the age to come. Again, they have it all wrong. They're equating this age and the age to come, like they're the same thing. In this creation, God established marriage. He established marriage so that humanity could reflect the communion that God in Christ has with his church. He created marriage so that man and wife could multiply and fill the earth. He created marriage that humanity would receive the post-fall promise of a savior in the seed of the woman. The seed of Abraham that would bless all the nations of the earth. Same seed. Christian marriage, then, reflects this mystical union that Christ and his bride, the church, have. His bride, who now waits for his return and the consummation in that age that is to come. But in the age to come, faithful hearers of the word will live in perfect communion with God. All of us. We won't need this earthly reflection. And again, in the age to come, in the resurrection, we don't need marriage, for they cannot die anymore. Those who will be raised from the dead are, in Jesus' words, equal to the angels, sons of God, sons of the resurrection. Now, don't be confused. Jesus did not say, people become angels. You're not an angel. At least I've heard that a lot. Angels and humans are of different kinds, if you will. Kind of like cats and dogs. They're different. You will, however, like the angels in the resurrection, not die anymore. And if you're not going to die, then you have no need to carry on your genealogical line. So again, we don't need marriage in the resurrection. Perfect communion with God, a life that never ends. What does Jesus mean by calling us the sons of the resurrection? I like the way Peter puts it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That inheritance that is kept for you, imperishable, unfading, undefiled, it is the bodily resurrection to life eternal that Christ has in store for us. Now, Jesus takes the matter of the resurrection even further. He's going to prove it to these Sadducees from the scriptures. Now, Jesus could have quoted one of any number of Old Testament passages teaching about the bodily resurrection of the dead on the last day. But remember, the Sadducees only accepted the authoritative five books of Moses. So Jesus goes, surprise, surprise, to one of the books of Moses. He says, but that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Okay, let's be honest. If I were going to try to prove the resurrection of the dead from an Old Testament passage, I admit this is not the passage I would go to. It might be the last one. But Jesus does. And he says it shows the resurrection, so here's the idea. If the Lord God tells Moses, I am, currently, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, And Moses is living several centuries after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord says, I am their God. Present tense, currently. That means those old boys are still living in God's presence. They are then, like we are, waiting for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. And in just a few days, Jesus will indeed prove to these Sadducees that there is, in fact, a resurrection from the dead, bodily. This promise is not just for the patriarchs. It's not just for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob. No, this is a promise for you. God's promise does not have an expiration date. All of the promises of God find their yes, their amen in Christ. So this is a promise for you who are in Christ. And you have this inheritance. It is a gift that is given solely because of Christ. For all live to him. Those sins that weigh you down, that conflict your conscience, the ones the enemy tells you are damning you to hell. But, because of God's own Son, who died in your place, who is risen from the dead, because you have been called by the gospel into faith and have received the forgiveness of your sins, because you trust not in your effort to overcome your sin, but in Christ's grace freely given, you will not die but live. Christ himself rose victorious from the grave, and you baptized children of God, are united with Christ in his death and resurrection. You will be raised with him, leaping from the grave, whole and restored, bodily. On that day when the trumpet blows and Christ comes again and calls you forth, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. The God of the living, the sons of the resurrection, that is the God we have. That is who we are. Doesn't get much better. The promise doesn't get any better than this. Oh, our bodies for sure will get a lot better than this. Indeed, our bodies will be raised up, whole and glorious, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, for a life eternal in the presence of God, who is the God of the living. Because our God is the God who has joined us to his Son, Jesus Christ, and made us inheritors, sons of the resurrection, in a living hope with an eternal inheritance. Because of Christ. Because of his gift to us. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort, and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish them in every good word and work. In the name of Jesus.